Mike Tibbin. Hello, friend, and greetings again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity to come into your presence once again today through the opportunity presented through the radio ministry and the internet ministry that God has opened and provided for us. And it's our privilege together today to look into the Word of God. I'd invite you to get a Bible and turn with me to the first book in the Bible. We're going to begin a new series of study today. We're going to begin talking about something that relates to every individual listening to this broadcast or listening over the internet. This has to do with you, my friend. We're going to be talking about who you are. Do you know who you are? Here in the United States of America, at the University of Colorado, there was a survey that was taken one time, and the survey had three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Three simple questions, and yet there were so many different answers, and I don't know if any of them were correct. Because man has all kinds of ideas about who he is, why we're here, and where we're going. Did you know that God has a very clear plan and purpose for your life and for mine? Over in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, this is the best place to begin our study about who am I, knowing our identity and who we are, why we're here, where we're going. In Genesis chapter 2, we see God speaking to the first man, Adam, that he had created. And in verse 16, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The account is given of Adam and Eve, God creating Adam and from the dust of the ground, and then from Adam's side he took a rib and created Eve. And we read about the account of how Adam and Eve rejected God, His Word, and what He said. The account's given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and this is the tree that God told them not to eat of. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Here we see Adam and Eve deliberately disobeying God. They deliberately did what God told them not to do. They rejected God's word. And thus, what was the outcome? Well, if you go over to the last verse of Genesis chapter 3, well, let's begin with verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. There were these two trees in the middle of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave man only one command, and that was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because he warned him, "In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die." Adam and Eve rejected God's word. They did what God told them not to do. As a result, they died in their relationship with God. That is, death is separation, and thus they were separated from God. They rejected God, and thus we see they were ejected from the Garden of Eden. Now, we'll discuss this a little more in the days to come, but I want to give you a definition of this word rejection. The word reject means to refuse to have, to take, to act upon, to refuse to accept, such as accepting a person, to rebuff someone, to cast out, or eject. All of these are definitions of the word reject. Rejection means the act of rejecting, the state of being rejected, something that is rejected. On the other hand, on the other side of the picture is accept. The opposite of rejection is acceptance. And this is what every man craves. This is what every man desires, is acceptance. Accept means to take or receive something offered. To respond or answer affirmatively or in a positive way. To reject as normal, suitable, or usual, that is, to regard as normal, suitable, or usual, is the meaning of the word accept. To regard as normal, I accept this individual, suitable, or usual. The meaning of the word acceptance, the act of taking or receiving something offered, favorable reception, approval. The fact or state of being accepted are acceptable. Now, rejection has had an impact upon the whole human race. And as we will see as we get further into our study of knowing who we are, we will be discussing the impact that rejection has had upon the whole human race and how it has affected everyone. Now, there's two types of rejection. There's overt rejection, which is obvious or known rejection. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it was very obvious that they had rejected what God had told them, and they had determined they were going to go ahead and do what they wanted to do. Overt or obvious rejection. When a mother tells a child not to eat a piece of candy that's laying in front of it, and the child reaches over and grabs the piece of candy and sticks it in its mouth, that's rejecting what the mother has told the child. I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. And so the child rejects the instructions of the mother. Covert rejection, on the other hand, is subtle or unknown or rejection that's not recognized as such. It's something that's hidden, that's covered up. It's a rejection that is not really realized or understood. Covert rejection. Now, open rejection, when a person is rejected, when you say to someone, "I do not accept you, I do not like the way you look, you've got big ears, your face is ugly." These are overt rejections, obvious rejections. When we say to someone, "You're stupid," or "You're dumb," that's rejecting them. when we don't like the way a person dresses, or we don't like their actions, and we tell them so, that's obvious rejection. We're openly rejecting them. But covert rejection is subtle rejection that is not fully understood. For instance, if I'm out in the woods and I find a baby fox, the mother has been killed, and here's this little baby that's lying there and no one to take care of it. So I pick up the little pet fox, I make a pet out of it, I take it home, I get a bottle and a little nipple, and I punch a hole in the nipple, and I give the baby fox milk, and I find out what foxes eat, and gradually as the little fox begins to grow, I maybe get it some food of some kind. I give it water, and I watch the little fox as it grows. I pet it. I make a pet out of it. I let the fox run around the house. Finally, it gets big enough that I put it out in the yard, and I leave it out in the fenced-in backyard, and I provide food for it every day, and I give it water every day. As the fox grows to maturity, one day I say, "Well, fox, you have grown to be an adult fox. I'm going to take you out in the woods, and I'm going to turn you loose and let you do what other foxes do." And so I take it out to the woods, and I put it on the ground. And I say, "Okay, little fox, you're on your own." I turn around, I get in the car, I drive away. The little fox stands there and looks after the car. "Where are you going?" The little fox chases the car for a little while, until the car's out of sight. The little fox doesn't know what to do. There's a rabbit that runs across in front of the fox. It doesn't know that that's supper, because it's never had a rabbit before. It gets hungry, and it begins to look for its food bowl, but there's no food bowl. It gets thirsty, and it looks for its water bowl, but there's no water bowl. The little fox does not know how to take care of itself. It's been overprotected. Everything's been done for it. And this is rejection, because I've done everything for it, and now I expect it to live like a fox, and it doesn't know how to live like a fox. This overprotection that I've given the little fox actually has rejected it from being a fox. And it doesn't know how to be a fox. It doesn't know how to hunt. It doesn't know how to take care of itself. Until next time, goodbye.